away we go. Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you, along with my buddy Tom Fairbanks, who is engineering and producing our program on the other side of the glass. Tom, how would you like to live in total darkness for 66 days?
Well, you wouldn't need sunglasses for a while.
Well, you spent a lot of time up in Alaska. Today begins the polar night in about an hour, actually, up in Barrow, Alaska. The sun, folks up there will not see the sun until well into January, so it's 66 days. I don't know how I could handle that. Did you ever experience anything like that?
Well, in Fairbanks, you'll have some daylight in the middle of the day, but only for maybe 4 hours, 5 hours, you know, in the month of December, basically, and then on into January, but then it starts brightening up again.
I think I'll take our winter down here in Tucson.
You know, Barrow does hold a distinction.
What's that?
The farthest north Mexican restaurant.
Really?
Pepe's.
Oh, my goodness. Pretty good, huh?
I never had a chance to try it myself, but since it was the only place, and if you wanted Mexican, it was good.
It's Friday, November the 18th, 2022. We're coming to you from 1030 KVOI, Tucson's source for trusted news and talk. We're in our 12th year here on the radio. Finishing up 12 years, we'll begin year 13 in January and year 35 on TV and radio in Tucson. We have our worldwide live listening. Our live stream is picked up at buckmastershow.com. We piggyback the live feed from kvoi.com. And our live line is presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Our media partners, TucsonSentinel.com. Dylan, thanks for your team and everything you're doing over there. Dylan Smith, Dan Shear at the Green Valley News, and Saharita Sun, the Tucson Local Media Group, and its portfolio of publications, including Inside Tucson Business and the Tucson Weekly. Our Friday Focus interview today, with us on the live line, Tim Tomier, who oversees, as the assistant city manager for the city, public works functions, including the city's Tucson Water, Parks and Recreation, Environmental and General Services, Planning and Development Services, Transportation and Mobility, and Housing and Community Development. Tim serves on the Governor's Water Augmentation, Innovation, and Conservation Council. He is pursuing a PhD in geography from the University of Arizona, where his dissertation work explores the Arizona Drought Contingency Plan as a climate change adaptation strategy. Later in the hour, our co-host will be Jim Nensel joining us. Jim retired earlier this year after more than 30 years with the Tucson Weekly, where he was the senior editor. Tim, how are you?
I'm doing well. I'm in a depth of Tucson winter here in November here at Himmel Park.
Ooh, love that Himmel Park area. First got used to that area when my first time living in Tucson as a student at the University of Arizona. Great place to walk, especially this time of year, Tim.
It's a beautiful day, and there's a lot of folks out here enjoying the park, and we're here having a little employee gathering for Planning and Development Services to kind of close out November and head into the holiday season.
The House Speaker, his name is Ben Toma. He's filed a complaint, I guess, he hopes it will be legal action with the Arizona Attorney General to investigate the city of Tucson, this new measure that bans housing discrimination based on source of income. Any reaction, Tim?
We feel very good about the policies and procedures that we did to enact that ordinance, and we're happy to stand up and be counted on our beliefs that all people have a right to have fewer barriers to getting the housing that they need, and the source of their income should not be included in any kind of assessment of who should be able to rent and who should not. And so we're not totally surprised that somebody would take issue with it. and take a path of trying to challenge it. But we feel strongly about people having good and reliable access to housing, and we're happy to have that conversation.
Does it establish, as the House Speaker-elect Ben Thoma contends, does it establish, Tim, a new protected class of some, parentheses, not all renters within the city of Tucson?
I don't actually have the knowledge or the position or standing to be able to answer that. That's a legal question that I would defer to our city attorney's office, and we'll just see how that plays out.
All right. We've got so much to get into here, Tim, with you. Give us a quick update, will you, as we close out the calendar year. How are we doing on water? There's a lot of developments that are going to kick in after the first of the year. Give us the overview.
Tucson remains in a very strong position with its water supply. So even though there's a lot of concern and a lot of discussion about water in the Southwest and in Arizona, Tucson can continue to rely on their water supply. We are expecting some additional negotiations to be concluded even before the end of the year on additional measures to take to protect the Colorado River, which is our largest renewable supply in Tucson. And even as early as next week, there will probably be some news about what Tucson's willing to do in that space. The federal government has put on the table a couple of programs that water users can opt into in order to provide additional system conservation, and Tucson's mayor and council, as you know, are leaders in that space and have leaned in, and we've put water into the river system before and could quite likely do that again. So we're doing our part to help the river and the Southwest in general, but Tucson remains the most resilient water supply in the Southwest. And Tucsonans, as long as you keep doing your part with being wise water users and doing the conservation and the measures that you do on a daily basis, we'll be just fine here in Tucson.
This is a little confusing to folks about giving back water. When we hear that the city of Tucson will give back water, why do that, and do any other communities do that, Tim?
So a reason that Tucson would get back water is to make sure that the river is healthier and able to serve all customers. Because if we all just take our rights to water every year, then we'll inevitably dry up the river, we'll dry up the lakes that supply it, Lake Mead and Lake Powell, and we'll cause a lot of harm if we don't cut back our usage as a basin. And that harm comes in the form of the future ability of that river to provide supply, but also the power generation that occurs at both of those major reservoirs. So it's all part of doing our part in order to protect the river. Are we alone? Sometimes it feels like we're a little bit alone. certainly, Arizona interests have been at the table and have put literal and figurative water into the river for a number of years, and it is really up to California at this point to really step forward in a meaningful way. They have the largest share of Colorado River water, and they've done the least to contribute water toward a future river that can be available to all. So ours is the action that's the prudent and right thing to do. But it's also the call to action to others to really step forward and lean in and do this together.
Are any communities in Arizona using one-time toilet water then treated as drinking water, often referred to as toilet to tap? I know it's being done in California. What about Arizona and what about Tucson?
So in Arizona, City of Scottsdale has had a potable reuse system that's been online for a number of years. It's at a location they call their Scottsdale Water Campus, which is right off of Loop 101 up there. They've had a treatment system for a number of years, and they've actually they use it for multiple reasons. They do, like we do in Tucson, they use it for for non-potable uses, like on the golf courses in the Scottsdale area. They also recharge the local groundwater with that supply. But they also have the state's first permit to do direct potable reuse, and they actually have a demonstration center up there where people can go in and see it for themselves and experience it for themselves. So Scottsdale certainly leads in that space. A number of other communities are looking at when and how would they incorporate direct potable reuse into their water portfolios, including Tucson. For the last 20 years, it's been in our long-range plan that potable reuse would be something we would bring into the community conversation when the time is right. And I'd say the time is getting pretty ripe for that conversation.
Yeah, I think it's getting close. How are we doing on water cleanup? We had Councilman Kevin Dahl with us in studio. We talked a little bit about this yesterday. By the way, I was so pleased to see that the councilman has made really a terrific recovery from throat cancer. He lost 1.40 pounds. He's gained 10 back. He looks great. He says he feels good. That's wonderful. So how are we doing with water cleanup, and how many wells have now, or what percentage of our water has been taken offline because of that?
Yeah, I agree with you. It's been great to see Councilmember Dahl. He was at our climate action workshop this past Saturday. The first time I'd seen him in person in a while, and he was in the council meeting recently in person, and saw him at some other events. So that's been really wonderful to see. With respect to water cleanup in Tucson, we've been making progress in a number of ways, but there's a lot of work left to do. Tucson Water has worked with the state's Department of Environmental Quality to do cleanup of these what we call forever chemicals, or PFAS. There's a plume of that groundwater contamination in our groundwater emanating from beneath the Davis-Monthan Air Force Base. We have a pilot treatment that's been up and running for over a year, and we've moved forward with the planning and design of kind of the full-scale treatment for that area. The big unanswered question is, once Tucson and the state put that money forward, when will we get that money back from the folks who caused the contamination? Because that's not us, and that's not the state. But we can't wait for the responsible parties to fund it. So we're going to do it, and then we're going to seek reimbursement. But we have also been working with the state through the Water Infrastructure Financing Authority. We've applied for tens of millions of dollars to do cleanup on the north, groundwater cleanup on the northwest part of the community, and even in our recycled water, reclaimed water system, because here in the desert, all of that water has value, and we have a pretty closed basin where what happens in Tucson with water stays in Tucson. So and a lot of that money that we're accessing through the WIFA program is from the bipartisan infrastructure law from the federal side. So a lot of work to do, but a lot of action already underway. And just every time I have the opportunity, it's just to make sure everybody understands that the water, drinking water, is safe. We've been protecting the drinking water for decades, and we've actually taken a lot of proactive actions here in Tucson to make sure that those contaminants are not in the drinking water we serve. That means we're spending a lot of money, a lot of local money, for something that we shouldn't be compelled to do, but we can't wait. We can't allow harm to our customers. So we've been spending that money doing that work and protecting our customers, and then we'll be walking around the halls of Congress and other places to get that reimbursement.
Gloria has a quick comment and a question. Let's try to work her in before we take the Mona's Danish Bakery break. Go ahead, Gloria.
Thank you. Councilman Dahl reported in his newsletter that you all are considering raising water rates, and that he asked especially that they look at raising the rates for businesses. Where are we? How far along are you in that process?
Thank you, Gloria. So both of those things are absolutely correct. The general discussion about water rates adjustments is in the, we've had a number of town halls, and the mayor and council have adopted what's called a notice of intention. So we have a financial plan and some proposed rate adjustments, and those would be coming back to mayor and council in January for action, which means they might adopt as proposed, they might modify it, or they might choose not to adopt it. But the water rates in Tucson generally have not been adjusted since pre-COVID. And the proposal is to phase in a water rate adjustment over the next 4 years and not try to do it all at once. So that's and more information available on the city's website about the specifics, but that's the plan right now. Then with respect to charging businesses or commercial customers a different rate or a rate that encourages more conservation, the council asked us to report back in 6 months with an evaluation of that. So we're early days on that, but staff are looking into options for doing so and then to bring back to council. At this point, it looks like it would be probably sometime in the summer.
All right, Tim, what about Thanksgiving? We're now less than a week away. What will you and the family and the black cat known as Jack be doing as far as desserts? I'm setting up the Mona's Danish Bakery, home of the Danish Kringle advertisement right now. What would you prefer? What type of pie would you prefer, Tim?
So I've got to get 3 different desserts. There's got to be a pumpkin pie in the mix, either an apple or a cherry pie for Christina. And then we did have a Danish Kringle last year. And once you've gone there, there's no going back. So I can't just pick just one.
Music to the ears of Steve and the team up at Mona's Danish Bakery, Northeast Corner, Swan and Sunrise. Put in your order. Last year they did over 600 pies. I think they'll break that record this year. Mona'sDanishBakery.com, open for breakfast at 6:30 on Sunday at 7 a.m. But put in that order now for not only pies, Danish Kringles, and don't forget the dinner rolls. More with Tim Tomier and Jim Nintzel will be joining us for segment number 2. Jim's with me in studio. Be right back. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
Delivering a $2 billion voter-approved regional transportation plan involves complex policy, legal, and financial matters. The Regional Transportation Authority is open to answering any questions you have about delivery of the current RTA 20-year plan or about the development of a new regional transportation plan for the next 20 years. Contact the RTA at info@rtamobility.com.
Buckmaster Show listeners know that I'm passionate about travel. When I'm ready to take off on a new adventure, my air travel begins and ends at Tucson International Airport. TUS is nonstop for our community and Southern Arizona. So remember, to fly local, fly Tucson. Tucson International is nonstop for Tucson. More at flytucson.com. Cushman & Wakefield Picor is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield Picor offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at picor.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's picor.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
For more than a half century, Tucson Gardeners Trust Green Things, a family-owned and operated retail and wholesale plant nursery offering an amazing variety of plants, trees, cacti, pottery, and so much more, all at great prices. The 13.5-acre site by the Rialto River is also home to the Zocalo Village, specializing in fine Mexican and Latin American imported furniture and art. Green Things open daily at 3384 East River Road and at greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. Our Friday Focus interview today, Assistant Tucson City Manager Tim Tomier, who wears lots of hats, almost as many hats as Jim Nintzel when Jim used to be over at the Tucson Weekly. Jim, you practically, you swept the floors, took out the garbage, did everything.
Whatever needed to get done. Until I got minions, I could boss around.
There you go. Tim, Jim retired, what was it, 35 years?
33.
33
like
years.
Christ.
Yeah, there you go, 33 years as the retired with the position as senior editor when he left last summer. Jim, good to see you.
Good to be here.
Okay, Jim, Tim is, I believe, over at Himmel Park, and you had a park question for Tim. And by the way, our live line is presented by Rincon Ventures, Real Estate and Property Management. Go ahead,
yeah,
Tim.
I understand y'all are looking to unveil your Reed Park master plan. Is that tomorrow that's going to happen?
There's still a lot of work left to be done, but yes, there's a lot of activity around Reed Park, and we've been working on a master plan for a better part of about 6 months with a lot of community input about what the future holds for Reed Park. And actually, we're even expecting a discussion with the mayor and council at one of the upcoming meetings to talk broadly about that area. So there's some Proposition 407 investments that'll be made there, but also a lot of hopes and wishes for the local community about what could happen there.
And I know that one of the big questions is the future of the ballparks over there. You've got those four ballparks that are kind of clustered together where people have had tournaments and such like that. Can you give us a preview? Are we going to keep all four ballparks, or are we looking to eliminate some of those?
So the keeping the quad, as we call it, as part of Reed Park's future is certainly still on the table. Earlier in the year, there were some future concepts and all of those future concepts showed some kind of impact to the quad. But we heard from a number of stakeholders about the value of the quad. And so nothing's been determined at this point, but there's certainly consideration of maintaining the quad, and there's also other parts of the community where we're looking at developing additional parkland that could be future sites of a quad.
All right, and you know, I heard your discussion earlier about the toilet to tap water, and I understand some of that's being used to brew beer here in the state. Is that correct?
That's correct. You know, it's an interesting, challenging conversation to have with the public. So several years ago, a number of us found out that if we brewed some beer with it, that kind of helps the conversation move along a little bit.
I always thought that Coors Light was probably being brewed in that fashion.
Right. That's fair. Not at all unfair. But actually, the champions of this tend to be the local brewers who are kind of early adopters of a number of things, and it's happened in Arizona, and it's happened in Colorado, and it's happened in Oregon, and Florida, for that matter. It's just really a chance for small breweries and microbreweries to be a part of the community conversation and add some flavor, if you will, to the discussion.
I wanted to bring up the fentanyl issues in our town. Obviously, this stuff is very cheap, and it just seems to be all over the community. And I'm wondering, in terms of what the city's doing about that, can you talk a little bit about strategies there?
I can, and actually, there's a tremendous amount of alignment and cooperation happening between both the city and its resources and the county. In fact, we have a kind of a weekly touch base on a number of issues and fentanyl being one of them. So one of the things we're doing is making sure that we've been building up our community safety, health, and wellness function with the city. Acknowledging, we've always had within Tucson Police Department a substance use resource team that's been available. But, you know, with the magnitude of the prevalence of fentanyl and the issues that are associated with it, working closely with our community safety, health, and wellness folks, mental health professionals, drug use professionals, our partners at Pima County Health, and others is really how we can get a coordinated response. Because if we do just individual interventions, or we deal with an emerging issue in one location in the community, that has a short term benefit, but it's not really addressing the long term systemic issues. So we really had to take a step back and look at it from a more holistic approach. And there's a lot of activity in that space.
Tim Tom, you're with us at right now, Tim, on the live line over at Himmel Park. And Tom Fairbanks tells me that Himmel in German means heaven or sky. Is that correct, Tom? That's what you say, that heaven or sky. But I believe Himmel Park was named after an individual. Do you know if that's the case, Tim?
I do not know, but I do. I have heard the God in Himmel quite a bit with some of the German ancestry.
Right.
So I can't say how it was named, but I can say it is our little slice of heaven. It's a beautiful blue sky and a beautiful November day for us right now.
All right. Here's Jim Ninsel with some picking up on the fentanyl. Jim, I know you're very concerned about police staffing.
Yeah. We're you know, we keep hearing the police are understaffed in Tucson, and are we, number one, are we understaffed from the city administration's position, and also why, if so?
So our biggest challenge in police staffing is not a lack of available positions or a lack of budget capacity. It's truly a lack of candidates interested in that field, and there's a number of reasons why it's been difficult to recruit new people into policing, and we are taking a number of actions to address that. It's at the top of our Chief Kazmar, our police chief's list of things to do. So a couple of things we're doing is we've created a unique program called Community Service Officers, which is attracting 18 to 22-year-olds into the police department, but not carrying a badge and a gun. They're unarmed, but well-trained and well-equipped folks who work with the community. And we've actually ramped up closing in on 100 of those staff. And it's actually a chance for people to get involved a little bit earlier than your traditional police officer, but have different career paths that can ultimately include going into the academy and going down the path of being a commissioned officer. In addition, and again, this will be coming up soon, probably for a discussion with the mayor and council, is where we really struggle is diversity, especially the number of female candidates is the traditional life of a police officer is not always compatible with family life. And so what we are looking at is how do we make that a better career path for more different candidates, including young women who would like to come into the police force. So we're looking at options that might include, at the direction of our mayor, we're looking at, is there a way that we can provide, you know, child and family care for as a recruiting tool, so that if you're thinking about that career, Tucson would be the place you'd want to pursue it, because we can provide a better family support structure around a police officer. So it's not a lack of funding. It's not a lack of effort, it's just not a lot of folks attracted to that field right now. And so we're moving things to make it so it's a better family life balance and better opportunity for others.
Jim, both of us had the homeless issue on our list of items to have Tim addressed. Unfortunately, we're just about out of time. What was on your mind, Jim, on that one?
Oh, it's such a complex issue, and I'm not sure anything could be answered in the short time we have remaining. Actually, if I can shift gears back to the police for a second, this youth group that you're looking to recruit, what kind of calls do they respond to?
So currently, they can respond to calls for help or support or service that are clearly, you know, nonviolent, that not necessarily a call for police assistance in the form of a crime in progress, but it could be folks who need help or somebody's witnessed somebody who's, and some of this can be even related to the mental health and the issues we talked about, even with homelessness, where really it's somebody from the city needs to respond, and it doesn't always have to be a commissioned police officer. And then we are looking at, and this is maybe for some follow-up with Chief Kazmar next time you have him on, about what are additional types of things that they could be trained on to do. Perhaps there's investigative work, perhaps there's follow-up work that could be done that can take some of the load off our commissioned officers and do it with these folks.
Tim, I wish we had some more time. We really don't. Do you quick comment on the homeless problem?
It's a major effort in both the city and the county. It's another area where we're partnering, and actually we're looking at co-funding a kind of a position. But on the city side, especially, we just about a month ago brought in a new position, and Mari Vasquez is helping with our Housing First and our housing department and our community safety, health, and wellness group. So Mari Vasquez has been with the city for a number of years, and she's been tasked with being a central coordinator of all of our response in the homeless area. And we just launched a new dashboard where people can report homeless activity. And again, it's not the homelessness itself that's the concern, but it's if there's folks that are lacking services or there's a criminal element that needs to be provided services, that's where we need to make sure we're dedicating our resources. So, and it's another one where the city manager has stood up a weekly, very strong working meeting. It's not just we sit around and chat about it. It's action items, follow-up, working with local businesses when there's an issue in their neighborhood, and really trying to actually mobilize the community itself in partnership.
All right, Tim, I hope you and your family have a wonderful Thanksgiving. Enjoy your time over at that piece of heaven over at Himmel Park. Have a great day.
Thank you very much, and it was great talking to you.
Thanks a lot. Jim Nensel and I will talk a bit right after this.
Dine in or take out authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza at Vero Amore, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, and panini are homemade, using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, and on Dove Mountain in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore, on the web at veroamorepizza.com. Nestled in the foothills of the Santa Rita Mountains of southeastern Arizona is Equine Voices and Sanctuary. Home to horses and burros that were rescued from neglect, abuse, abandonment, and slaughter. Please consider Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary with a financial gift of support and estate remembrance. Learn more about our vision and values at equinevoices.org.
This is Bill Buckmaster urging my listeners to join me in becoming a member of the Reed Park Zoo, one of America's top zoos and home to more than 300 animals from all over the world. When you become a zoo member, you receive free daytime admission, discounts on special events and education programs, and so much more. Find out more about zoo membership and everything you need to know about your zoo visit, reedparkzoo.org.
Hi, this is Irene Coppola, President and CEO of the Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona. The BBB sets the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the resource to turn to for the objective, unbiased information on businesses offering national and local consumer services online and in person. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau at bbb.org.
As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com.
Have you always wanted to cruise to Alaska? If that's the case, then you'll only see the tip of the iceberg. At Bon Voyage Travel, we can package the full Alaska experience with a cruise tour. Journey to Denali National Park on glass-domed rail cars. Tour the tundra wilderness and see the northern lights with an expert guide. And of course, relax on your cruise as you enjoy the glaciers up close and personal. Go to bvtravel.com today. Bon Voyage Travel, your Alaska experts.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. Our thanks to Tim Tomier, who called in on our live line, presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Tim checking in from Himmel Park. And for those wondering, Himmel Park is named for somebody that actually had Himmel in their name, Alvina Himmel Edmondson and her family. The family was part of their homestead back in the 30s and donated the property, or parts of it anyway, to the city of Tucson. Jim Nintzel is with us, longtime editor from the Tucson Weekly. He stepped aside last summer, kind of enjoying at least a temporary retirement. I predict he will be doing something journalism-related. Who knows? Soon or whenever. Jim, what an interesting...
Still in recovery.
Yeah, there you go. What an interesting election. If Kim Mays, as the Democrat, survives, and there will be a recount for the Attorney General, you would have the three top positions, Governor, Secretary of State, and AG, as Dems. And that's the first time that would have happened since the 1970s.
Which is about 100 years 100 in lifetimes. Politics. Yeah. 100 lifetimes in politics. I'll tell you, Bill, I think I said on this show all along, this year was going to be a test of two political theories. One was that the party in power in a midterm election in a bad economic time is going to lose elections. The other is that if you nominate people too far to the fringe, you're going to lose elections, and you're because you'll lose the independents and the Republicans. And I think in this case, it was the nominating people too far to the fringe. I mean, certainly Mark Fincham, who's currently losing by about 120,000 votes, says he's still in it.
Really?
He's not conceding. he's not conceding. Neither is Kerry Lake, who's
talking, exploring. I understand legal action.
Legal action, and you gotta just. It's astonishing to me, I got to say, that you have Republicans out there saying, don't turn in your early ballots, mm-hmm. go in and vote in person, and then they're surprised when there's lines to go and vote. I mean, if Kerry Lake had just said, turn in your early ballot, she might be celebrating right now. But they had to go around and do it. Now they're all complaining that the lines were too long and people were disenfranchised and all the rest of that. But
interesting.
She's down by 17,000 votes at this point.
Not triggering an automatic recall. I think
there's a recount.
There's a recall. Recount would still, I think it has to be a half percentage point. And I think her lead right now is 6/10 of a percentage. But there are only 10,000 votes out to be counted in the state.
I would imagine we got to get yesterday or Wednesday really was the cure to or the deadline to cure your ballot. So I think you got to get it in.
And Pima County, what's going on there? We've still got almost 3,000 votes.
Yeah,
I don't know if these are provisional or what they are, but
they must have been. But yeah. We'll see, you know, how many of those end up getting counted because how many people cured by the end of the day Friday. But there shouldn't be any delays to get our final results by the end of the day, I would hope. And, you know, people, the other thing is there's a lot of Republicans saying this is unprecedented and
sure.
It's never taken this long to count votes. But you and I have been doing this mm-hmm. for a long time mm-hmm. and we know this always happens. We can think back to those races between Ron Barber and Martha McSally a decade ago. That went on for a long and went into recount territory and all the rest of that. So, you know, this is not unusual. People can complain about how long it takes, but it was a Republican legislature and a Republican governor who could have done something to change this, and they did not. So, you know, and I'm pretty sure Katie Hobbs probably won't be signing too many bills to limit the ability of people to vote, which is really what it would require.
It's going to be a fascinating legislative session. You have a little more. The Republicans actually picked up a little bit in the legislature. So you're going to have a Democratic governor with a pretty darn Republican-leaning legislature.
Yeah, and I think that's because you had a Republican-leaning independent redistricting commission that, you know, did some pretty hinky things, especially here in southern Arizona. And I do have to wonder, you know, the SALC and other business groups are out there saying, hey, we need to make sure we elect some Republicans to the legislature to represent Tucson. And the Republicans they elected are already out there saying that they will be recognizing Carrie Lake as governor. So I think it's not exactly a business friendly collection of Republicans that we're sending up there, but more the Trump friendly Republican. So good luck lobbying.
And Carrie Lake went to visit Mar-a-Lago?
She did.
Is that a possible maybe a running mate to Donald Trump?
I don't know. He doesn't like losers.
Well, I don't know.
He prefers people who win elections.
But in her mind right now, she thinks she still has a shot, but we'll have to see how that all plays out.
We'll see where she sets up her government in exile here in Arizona. What spot would be appropriate?
So when you look ahead to 2023 and this legislative session, water has got to be at the top. It was the top of the agenda. There was talk about desalinization and all that, but it's got to be at the top of the agenda of 2023.
We'll see what this legislature decides to do. They have a remarkable ability to ignore actual pressing problems in pursuit of solutions to problems that exist largely in their own heads. So, you know, I would hope that I think one of the real challenges for the state in general moving forward are some of these initiatives, especially the saying you can't raise taxes via initiative without 60% approval, which I don't know that any tax increase has ever gotten to that level. So it's the voters really gave away a pretty important tool in their toolbox, and you know there's not going to be any tax increases at the legislature. And I'm concerned. You know, there's a lot of we live in uncertain economic times, and I'm afraid Doug Ducey has built a bit of a house of cards with his COVID funding and other stimulus money that's come into the state, and that's not going to be there forever. And we're going to see we've done some pretty massive tax cuts for the wealthiest people in the state, and so we're going to see that bill's going to come due at some point, and
you know,
it's going to be rough times.
Jim, getting back to that vote count, you look at Kimberly Yee, the treasurer,
yes,
more of a traditional Republican.
did not campaign with the slate.
And look what she won by.
And I think, you know, when you're out there literally saying we've driven a stake to the heart of the McCain machine, you've gone off against the members of your own party, you've turned off independents, and you've turned off all of the other party, I just think that's bad politics. And it's a little surprising to me that Democrats did as well as they did, given the economic circumstances. And I think if Republicans had nominated more traditional candidates, they probably would not be looking at these losses.
All right. Roberta, quickly. Roberta, let's put Roberta on real quickly about desalinization. Go ahead, Roberta.
Yeah, how about approaching the federal government to providing the desalination? I mean, they seem to have money for everyone and everything else, and the states can't afford it. So how about the federal government providing it? It does affect 7 states and eventually the whole country if they don't have enough water to grow our food crops.
You know, I certainly think that there could be some federal funding in the pipeline, so to speak, but we're just going to have to wait and see. That's an expensive process, and, you know, I'm not sure. I think Governor Ducey was perhaps talking about getting water piped in from Mexico, and I'm not sure that's going to fly.
Kind of hard to get the
foreign
money.
Government.
Hard to get the money from the feds. We're just talking about water with Tim Tomier and the water cleanup with these problems at Davis Mountain.
Right,
it's like pulling teeth. Anyway, hey, Jim, great to see you. I hope you and your family, your lovely family, have a wonderful Thanksgiving dinner.
It's a yours as well, and it's such a pleasure to be in here with you, Bill.
Always a pleasure. Thanks a lot. All right, we'll take our break right here, and we've got Weekend Watch with Matt Russell right after this.
Tucson's original gastropub, Noble Hops in Oro Valley, proudly announces a second Tucson area location where you'll enjoy locally brewed craft beer and gastropub fine fare. Order in or take out at Noble Hops, a pub for foodies, on West Lambert Lane at North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley, and now at the Doubletree Hotel on Alvernon across from Tucson's Reed Park. More on the web at noblehops.com.
Delivering a $2 billion voter-approved regional transportation plan involves complex policy, legal, and financial matters. The Regional Transportation Authority is open to answering any questions you have about delivery of the current RTA 20-year plan or about the development of a new regional transportation plan for the next 20 years. Contact the RTA at info@rtamobility.com.
At Tucson International Airport, we are nonstop for our community. Our main priorities are providing a safe and secure travel experience and excellent customer service. We're also nonstop for landing prosperity in Southern Arizona by attracting new flights for business travel and family getaways. When your airport thrives, our community thrives. So fly local, fly TUS. Tucson International Airport is nonstop for Tucson.
The nonprofit Tucson Wildlife Center has been helping injured, sick, and orphan wildlife in Southern Arizona since 1999. They're dedicated to the rescue, medical care, and rehabilitation of sick, injured, and orphan wildlife, with the goal of releasing them back to their natural habitat. Around 5,000 animals a year come to them, as they are the only wildlife rescue in Southern Arizona. All made possible through donations. They receive no government funding. Please donate at TucsonWildlife.com.
Family owned and run since 1985, Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is the gold standard for quality and professionalism for picture framing, custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, and hanging and lighting solutions. Come in for your design session or set it up electronically. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and now doing e-commerce at moesgallery.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover 2 of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
All righty, I am ready for the weekend. Weekend Watch, presented by Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. Perfect time of year, isn't it? In the Southwest, especially over in Silver City. Nice day over there, temperature in the lower 50s. Great temperatures to get out and do some hiking this weekend in the Gila National Wilderness. SouthwestNewMexico.org, your starting place to find out about all the things to do and the great places to stay and some great places to eat as well. Silver City, only about a three-hour drive east of Tucson. Here is the longtime host of our Weekend Watch, award-winning Tucson publicist and dedicated Tucson foodie, food and beverage writer, Mr. Matt Russell, back from a business trip to Fargo, North Dakota. Oh, boy.
Yeah, let me just say, another reason why I am blessed to live in southern Arizona, yes. Particularly this time of year. Bill, it was 5 degrees when I woke up yesterday morning in Fargo. So suffice it to say, I am happy to be back home.
Yeah, well, I'm hope they've de-iced you.
I'm starting to thaw.
There you go. I know you love tamales, so you must be getting ready for that big workshop.
Absolutely, and it's a big season for tamales, as you know, Bill. And you're going to be able to roll up your sleeves and learn how to make them from scratch at this tamale-making workshop. So it's tomorrow from 11 to 2. It's at the Cuisine Classique Cooking School over on West McGee Road, and secrets are going to be revealed for making authentic traditional red tamales. So we're going to learn how to make red chili sauce, the beef and pork fillings. We're going to learn how to make the masa for the tamales and, of course, how to prepare those corn husks. Now, it's also a make-and-take class, which means that you're going to leave with 24 tamales for your own holiday entertaining. And when you run out, at least you'll know how to make more. All the details are unwrapped on the website. It's cuisineclassique.com.
Boy, there's going to be some really lucky people that are going to have some of those homemade tamales on their Thanksgiving table. Going to be
lots of fun.
Yeah. And deciding on what wine to serve on Thanksgiving, always a tough task. Some help maybe this weekend.
Yes, you're in good hands if you're looking to answer that question about what wines to serve. You know, premium wines are always at the center of our annual Thanksgiving feast. And what a coincidence, our friends at Feast Restaurant over on Speedway, they're going to host a special Plan Your Thanksgiving Wine Tasting tomorrow at 2 o'clock. So they're going to offer their credentialed thoughts on holiday wines, and whether or not you'll be showcasing a gobbler or some other protein on the big day, you're going to sample 4 Thanksgiving appropriate wines, some reds and whites, any of which should please a crowd, I think, of any size at your Thanksgiving table and quite possibly the other ensuing holiday tables as well. The tasting is only $15 a person, and you can reserve your spot by calling them at 326-9363.
And we always have time for another harvest festival.
We do. You know, this Sunday is the day to seriously celebrate the bounty of the fall season with the first annual Harvest Fest at Heirloom's Farmers Market at 10 a.m. over at the Rieto Racetrack. So you'll join in a community celebration of local farmers and growers and sort of the value they bring not only to the farmers market but to the local food system and really entire community as a whole. So you'll enjoy educational presentations from local farmers, sample some seasonal produce. There's even going to be a chef demonstration from Ryan Clark of Casino del Sol, some live music, and food from more than 80 local vendors will be available for purchase. So the flavors and fragrance of fall in surround sound at Harvest Fest this Sunday morning.
I've been to Fargo. It's a neat little town, isn't it?
Yeah, you know what? I got your Facebook message minutes before we drove right by the campus at North Dakota State University. And it really is a beautiful setting. And no wonder it's such a popular academic institution for those in the Midwest. It really is a beautiful, especially blanketed with this fresh snow. I just really enjoyed my time there in all seriousness. Just
all right, Matt, we so appreciate everything you do for this program. You're one of the people that we're very thankful for this Thanksgiving. All the best to you and your family.
Right back to you, sir. Thanks so much, my friend.
All right. Always a pleasure to have Matt on our program, The Buckmaster Show, a presentation of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, which is wholly responsible for the content of our program. Thank you to our German friend, Christophan, for our original music. Thank you to my assistant, Rosemary Brandt, making sure all of our podcasts are posted to the website in a very timely manner. Also having something to do with that, Tom Fairbanks, who engineers and produces our program. Thanks, Tom. Be well, everybody. Stay safe. Have a lovely weekend.